The first two was pertaining to artificial intelligence, and then the third and the fourth one pertains to UFO and alien. Now, in my last sermon, I spoke about the unidentified flying objects. We call it UFO and then also aliens. And so I asked two critical questions then. The first question was, are the UFO and aliens real? And then second is, if they are real, where do they come from and what are they? And so here is a quick recap of my answer to those questions based on scientific evidence in my previous sermon. And so I'm not trying to speculate, but it's based on scientific evidence. Also, the conclusion that we reached in the last sermon is this. Number one, not all the reported UFO phenomena are real, which means to say generally about 97% of those incidents were actually misidentified. Only about 3%, or between 1 to 3% are real incidents. And so for those UFO and aliens that are real, so what are they? They are not extraterrestrial beings from other planets. They are not ET from other planets, but they are evil and demonic spirits. And so what are the evidences to support this conclusion? I've outlined in my last sermon. I'll give it quickly to you to recap. So number one evidence is all those UFO phenomena, that those are real incidents, they consistently defy all the various laws of physics. And so because of those things, they're proven, they cannot be physical being. They are spiritual being. So very, very important to recognize that. So number two, so we have ruled out that they are physical being. They cannot be physical being from other planets as well. And therefore, they are spiritual. And so the remaining question to ask is, if they are spiritual, whether they are of good or of the evil spirit. That's where evidence number two and number three comes in. Evidence number two says that the after effects of all those close encounters with the aliens and UFO, you study those incidents, they are always negative and they are always harmful. And so it gives you the hint they are not of the good spirit, but of evil spirit. And then you go and analyze evidence number three. It says that people who have UFO encounter of the third kind are always those engaged in some occultic activity. You look at the statistics, those countries that engage in occultic activity are those countries that register the highest number of incidents of UFO encounter. All right, very, very clear cut. And so with evidence number two and number three, with one, all right, we can safely say that this conclusion that we reach is conclusive, meaning that they are not ET being from other planet, but they are evil and demonic spirit. And then I went on to, so those evidences are already sufficient, strong enough to conclude that they are not physical being, but spiritual being, evil and demonic spirit. And then that comes to evidence number four. Aliens and UFO cannot be extraterrestrial entity because no other known planets besides Earth fulfill all the 14 habitability requirement. That means for life to exist, you must have all those 14 requirements being met. And so for evidence number four, as I said, these are supplementary evidence. You know, it's already enough, 1 to 3. These are just extra for our information. And so for evidence number four, some may say, how can we tell? Because scientists may not have explored all the planets and galaxies of the universe. Now, for that, I'm going to further answer this question from a theological point of view from the Bible. As I said, already those evidence are enough, but so these are the extra things that I just want to reassure you. Now, based on God's word, we accept without question that the existence of spiritual beings like angels and demons. All right, so that is already clearly stated in the Bible. And so some people might ask, did God create intelligent being, physical being, in the other parts of this physical universe, and has not told us about it because their existence is not relevant to us on earth. Now, of course, God could have done it. But the real question is, did he? The answer is explicit no. God did not create other intelligent physical being elsewhere in the universe, because the Bible teaches that all things in the universe were created specifically for intelligent human lives that exist on earth. What do I mean by that? All the other celestial bodies besides earth are merely adornment for men. Now let me back it up with some scripture. Genesis 1:14 says, God said, let there be light in the expanse of the heavens. He's not just talking about the earthly heaven, but he's talking about heavens with a plural, all right? To separate the day from the night. And let them be for, that's the purpose, for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. That was another reason. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. And he placed them in the expanse of the heaven to give light on earth. Another emphasis here. And so here, God made the celestial body in the universe for signs, for seasons, for the days, and for the years, and for also to give light on the earth. And so they exist for God in communicating with mankind. So these objects have no purpose outside or apart of man on earth. Now, besides what I've just, the reasons that I've just given you in Genesis 1, Psalms 19 also say something like this. They say the universe testify to men concerning the glory of God. That was another purpose. And so for Psalm 19 verse 1 to verse 4, he says that heavens proclaim the glory of God. Now the heavens, again I say with a plural, right? That means not only the earthly heaven, but talking about the universe. The heavens in the universe proclaim the glory of God. And he says the sky display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word, their voices is never heard, yet their message is gone throughout the earth. And so the message is to be conveyed to the people on earth and their words to all the world. In other words, the Bible says that all the heavenly wonders declare to mankind on earth of God's glory and craftsmanship. It does not declare to the, you know, these things to all the other terrestrial physical life, because there was none out there. And next, the Bible also says in Psalm chapter 8, verse 3 to verse 6, that man rules over all the creation that God has made. Verse 3 says, when I consider your heavens, again with S, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, again the stars refers is a plural, which you have ordained. He said, what is man that you thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him, yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty, and you make him to rule over the works of your hand, and you put all things under his feet. In other words, man is the custodian head. It's only the custodian head over all of God's work, not just some, but over all of God's work. And so this precludes the possibility of any other higher intelligent life existing in outer space. I'm talking about physical life. I'm not talking about spiritual life or the spirit. So when Adam and Eve sinned, it affected the whole universe. So the consequences of Adam's sin result in decay everywhere in the universe, not only on the earth, because the Bible says that the whole creation groans. You read it in Romans 8:22. So not only some, but the whole creation is waiting for the full redemption of humanity, so that they can be fully liberated from the bondage and the decay that they are experiencing. And so for that reason, Jesus came and took on flesh and blood of a human nature to die and atone for the sins of humanity. It's written in Hebrews chapter 2. But he did not take on the nature of the angels. He did not take on the angels, the nature of some other being. But he took on the nature of the man. And so Jesus became man to die and atone for mankind. And he did not become an extraterrestrial being. So God became the God-man. Jesus, became the God-man. He says to die once for all, for humanity on this unit or in this universe. You can read it in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27. So he did not come to die one time for humanity and another time for an extraterrestrial being. But he died once for all humanity. Now, there may be other microbial life elsewhere in the universe, but there can be no intelligent physical life, whether it's fallen or otherwise, elsewhere out of planet Earth. And then, 7th point. When God's program for mankind on earth reaches its conclusion, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 and also verse 10 declare that God will destroy this first universe. 2 Peter 3, 7 says, by his word, the present heavens and earth, again, the heavens is plural and the earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come, like a thief, in which the heavens, again, with a plural, will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its work will all be burned up. This means that our present universe is not just planet Earth, but our whole present universe will end. Once God's program of event for mankind on earth has been completed. Hence, there is no other program taking place simultaneously elsewhere in the universe. The events of mankind dictate the beginning and the end of everything in the universe. And so clearly, the Lord made the universe with man's fall and redemption as the only focus. And therefore, the rest of the universe must be without any intelligent physical life like ours and without a plan of its own apart from humanity on earth. So we alone were made in the image of God, and we alone have been provided with a redemption plan through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16. And then the last reason, point number 8. Only redeemed mankind is made joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:17. It did not say that other terrestrial being, also being redeemed and made joint heirs with Christ. Here it says 8:17. And so if maintaining an understanding of this scripture will cause us to know how privileged we are to have the Almighty God, the creator of the whole universe, as our heavenly Father, and to become the sons and daughters of the living God, and being made joint heirs with Christ, the second person of the Godhead, to rule and to reign with Christ over the new universe, the new heaven and the new earth. And so may it cause us to express our deepest gratitude and magnify our love for God and in awe of his grace and mercy upon mankind. And so, these are the 8 main reasons why, theologically, there can be no ET physical being from outer space. And this is important. All right. Now, in my previous sermon, I also mentioned that there is a bigger evil agenda of UFO and aliens. It's a coming big deception which I will elaborate in this sermon. Now, there are many significant prophecies in the Bible. One of the big prophetic events is the rapture of the Christian. And the other big prophecy is the 7-year tribulations before Jesus returns. And so, theologians say that the first half of the 7 year, which is 3.5 years, is the lesser tribulation, and the second half of the 3.5 years is the greater tribulation. So most mainstream churches, including our church, agree on these two prophecies that I just mentioned. However, within the mainstream churches, there are different schools of thoughts and variation as to when exactly the rapture of the Christian will take place. And so, as you know, the first school of thought is that Christian will be raptured before the tribulation, or just before the tribulation. We call this first school of thought the pre-tribulation rapture. And then the second school believe that the Christians will be raptured during the middle of the tribulation. We call this mid-trib rapture. Now we, meaning Zion Fellowship, partially belong to this school of mid-trib rapture, but with some variation. We believe that in selective translation or rapture, let me briefly explain. You can read it in Revelation chapter 12, and also the verse that I just highlighted to you in Matthew 24. I said one group will be taken, the other group will be left behind. The scripture did not say one group will be taken up, right? Just taken. Within this group, there are two subgroups, taken. And so the three groups, first group, this is our belief, first group, what we call the spiritual fathers, or the spiritually matured Christian, they will be translated, or you may call it raptured, into heaven in the middle of the 7-year tribulation. And the second group, we call it the spiritual young men, the overcomer. They will be supernaturally ushered into the remote wilderness to be protected. Again, it comes from Revelation chapter 12. But the third group are the spiritually carnal and the worldly Christian. They are like kids, little children. They have to go through the great tribulation. But by and large, God will give them the grace to remain faithful. Because after they realize that they have been carnal, they have been worldly Christian, they have been left behind, but they will go through, most of them, make it. They will resist the mark of the beast. They will remain faithful. And so, nonetheless, they still have to go through the great tribulation. And so, in short, a huge number of Christians in group 1 and group 2, they are taken, right? Taken out from the world scene. The group 1 goes up, but the group 2 is taken away into the remote place. So only group 3 Christian plus all the other unbelievers are left behind. And so now your picture is hopefully is clearer. Now, the third school of thought believe that all Christians will only be raptured at the end of the 7-year tribulation when the Jesus returned. We call this school of thought the post-tribulation rapture. So I hope it becomes clear. With a slide, it will be clearer. But unfortunately, but fortunately, you have the notes with you. So, having been told that there are three schools of thought, and we partially belong to the second school with a variation. So now the question is, if either the first or the second school of interpretation is correct, that means there is a rapture either before or in the middle of the 7-year tribulation, Satan has to come up with a big defense for this big prophetic event. What is this big prophetic event? The rapture and the disappearance of hundreds of millions of Christians. Now, this massive event is going to be supernatural and highly dramatic, because on that day, millions will just go up And many millions will also be supernaturally ushered into the wilderness. And there will be billions of people left behind, including in our school of thought, including the carnal Christian. Now, if Satan can't come up with a possible explanation, many billions of people who are going to be left behind, the unbelievers and so on, they're going to turn to Christ as their Savior. Why? Because many unbelievers, though not all of them, heard about rapture story of Christian before, but some, I repeat, many unbelievers, though not all have heard the rapture story of Christian before, either from their friends or relatives or colleagues or their churches, right, will start to question. So when this big prophecy comes to pass, many people who are left behind will likely come to the conclusion that all the teachings of the Bible are indeed true. It has to be. Because either they hear it from their friends, or they heard it from their relative, or they may have attended church once or twice before, and they heard about this, about rapture. And then suddenly, it dawns on them, it's true. This big event turned out to be true. And therefore, they will turn to the Bible and they start believing the Bible. And Satan will lose his big sway over them. And so he needs to come out with a plan of deception, a big deception, to preempt and to counter this prophetic event of rapture when it happens. And this is where belief in UFO and physical alien from outer space comes into the picture. And so, number one deception that he's going to come up with is UFO and aliens actually have beamed up these Christians up into their spaceship. This is how they will explain for the rapture of the Christian to those who are left behind. So when many millions of Christians disappear, the alien will appear. And because you are preconditioned to think that they are real, wow, indeed, they are aliens, they are real. So remember, when millions of Christians disappear, aliens will descend and they will appear. The aliens are going to come now to help Satan to take control over the world. And the aliens will claim that they are the ones who beam up this Christian into their spaceship to be transported to another place. And many will ask, why these devout Christians are being beamed out of this world? The explanation is going to be very simple. The devout Christians are the big troublemakers of this world. They are hindering the progress of this world from building a utopia and paradise on planet Earth. And so the aliens were reassured for those who were left behind. Don't worry. These people, some of them are your loved ones. They're going to be fine. They will be rehabbed and they will be reformed over a period of time. And once they are ready, we are going to beam them back to Earth to join us. And therefore, the devout Christians are going to be painted as the bad guys. And they, the alien, are going to be portrayed as the good guys, the little savior. And they will make those who are left behind to believe that they are highly intelligent ET beings from other galaxies. And that is why for decades, you see many stories in the movie, in the TV programs promoting UFO and alien as a highly intelligent ET being from other planets and galaxy. And so all these imagery of UFO and aliens having advanced technology of beaming people up and down are being etched into our mindset. Where did all this imagery of UFO and alien from science fiction movie come from? None other than inspired by Satan himself. The purpose is to condition the people's mind to prepare them to believe this great, great deception more readily when the time comes. And this kind of UFO and alien story is being taught in Satanism, New Age teaching, and some of the cults and occults. Now, so have you asked yourself why the US government, the superpower of the world, 2 years ago, held an official inquiry and suddenly become fascinated with UFO and alien? And also some European government has declassified many information about UFO and alien. I believe that this government official, their thoughts are being inspired by Satan without even realizing. Did not God say that this world comes under the sway of the evil one? And so Satan knows that his days, end days are very near, and he needs to get the people psychologically prepared so that they will be deceived into thinking that UFOs and aliens are real. They are real. But they want you to believe that are being coming from outer space. And they are not spiritual, evil and demonic spirit. So the day will come when it will be helpful for him to lie to those who are left behind. And then deception number two will be the earth needs to go through a period of deep cleansing before the utopia. And this will explain for the few years of great tribulation. When the rapture happens, the people on earth would have experienced many trouble already. If it is in the middle of the tribulation, it would have experienced a lesser tribulation. And so Jesus spoke about this in Matthew chapter 24. He said, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,'" meaning the little Savior, little Messiah. And they will deceive many. And this is what many aliens will do. And you will hear of rumors, wars and rumors of war. But see that you will not be troubled. This thing must come to us. The end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against nation, kingdoms. And there will be famines. Right? These are all the lesser tribulation. Pestilences, earthquakes in various places. So on and so forth. Now, we all say that for many centuries, the planet already periodically has always experienced war, famines, pestilences, earthquake. How will the last days be different? It will be different because the first significant thing is Israel has become a nation. Second significant thing is the world type is changing in the sense that many nations are turning against Israel. And the Bible prophesies that in the very last days, the Jews will be persecuted. There will be severe persecution. And all the signs are already pointing to it. And then like birth pangs, the intensity will be higher and the frequency will be more often. And therefore, you will hear comments like, "This is the worst famine or the worst earthquake or the worst pestilence in..." I mean, initially you say 100 years, and then you say the worst in 500 years, and then you say the worst in 1,000 years. You already hear these comments for the last few years. And then when you go into the Great Tribulation, you will hear reports like the worst famine or the worst earthquake or the worst pestilence in recorded history. And when we enter into that period, the calamity will be unprecedented, the likes of which we have never seen before. And so how would Satan and his alien hoodwink and explain those who are left behind about this great tribulation? And so they will most likely say that all the troubles of the earth are caused by this conservative and devout Christian. They are the troublemaker. That is why we are having all this problem. And that's why we need to remove all this troublemaker, the devout Christian. But you guys who are left behind, you are the good ones. You will cooperate with us to build a utopia. And they will claim that global warming causes the frequent and the extreme weather conditions of drought, flooding, tornadoes, melting of polar snow, bushfires, etc. It is not due to God's pre-warning of judgment, but purely due to carbon emission. And that conservative Christians are climate denial and the troublemaker. And therefore, due to man negligence for many decades, Mother Earth now has to go through the inevitable period of deep cleansing. This will be the explanation for the Great Tribulation. Sounds logical, right? You have not taken care of the world for many decades, and therefore you have to go through this deep cleansing. Wow. And then third deception. To convince those remaining of the urgency to unify around a world leader, that means the Antichrist, and to fix all the crisis and save humanity and planet Earth. Because of the urgency of the situation. So alien will try to convince these people left behind that they are a far more advanced species from another galaxy and therefore capable of solving your problems on planet Earth. And so during that period of tribulation, the world would have faced many calamities on many fronts. There will be, number one, many wars taking place at the various parts of the world. Number two, a bigger pestilence. Now, for your information, pestilence is another word for, or a generic word for, pandemic. Global pandemic. A bigger one will break out that will wreck the whole world economy. And then number three, a widespread famine due to extreme climatic condition globally. So imagine you have too much water flood, it destroys the plant. You have no water at all, you have a drought, the plant or the crops won't survive. Either way, the crops won't grow or will be destroyed. So eventually there will be a famine. And then number four, there will be many mega earthquakes that will wreak havoc on many major cities. Now, Japan recently just had an earthquake. So there is a phobia that a mega earthquake is going to come. And everybody now is rushing to buy food. Well, let's wait and see. So aliens will claim that they've come to planet Earth in the most urgent hour to save humanity and to clean up all the mess on planet Earth. And they will say that they're capable of helping humanity to restore utopia and paradise on Earth. But the Earth needs to go through the deep cleansing or hard times for the next few years. And therefore, they need to cooperate with a strong world leader to achieve the utopia. But it requires them to be united as a world community, to unite around a strong leader to fix all the problems on planet Earth. And therefore, they will need a one world government. They will need a one world economy. And they will need a one world religion, as prophesied in the Bible. And so this very strong and charismatic world leader is none other than the Antichrist, known as the first beast, as mentioned in the Bible. Instead of looking to Jesus as their savior, those remainder are conned into worshipping the Antichrist as their Messiah and the Savior. For that, I want to read Revelation chapter 13, verse 5 to verse 8. It says that he, meaning the Antichrist, was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months, that means 3.5 years. And then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make wars with the saints and to overcome them. That means persecute Christian, and authority was given him over tribe, every tongue, every nation. That means it's one world government, and he is now given the authority as the head, and all those who dwell on earth will worship him whose name has not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then, let me comment here. There will be also a second beast. And this second beast is a religious figure. And he will be a false prophet. His role is mainly spiritual. And he works with Antichrist, the first beast. And he will hate the one world religion and endorse the worship of Antichrist. That's why Revelation 13 verse 11 says, "Then I saw another beast," right, the second beast, the religious figure, "coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon, and he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed." So again, there is this counterfeit of Jesus' death and resurrection. You can always see a counterfeit in the other side. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And so this second beast, a false prophet, performed lying signs and wonders to further deceive the world. And if you read verse 14, right, "And he," meaning the false prophet, "deceived those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived." And so you have now the Antichrist, the first beast, and then you have the false prophet, the second beast. And now he is recommending or advocating that image to Antichrist be made. All right. And so I submit to you. And then here he says, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. And then suddenly this image of the beast should both speak. Suddenly he comes alive, this image, and speak, and cause as many would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So I submit to you that at the mid-tribulation point, when Satan and all his fallen angels were cast down on planet Earth, at this point, that's what happened. This unholy counterfeit Trinity appears. And then at this point, the false prophet officially inaugurates Satan to enter and to possess a super intelligent AI humanoid. And that is where AI comes in. AI is supposed to be a super intelligent entity. I've already spoken on it in my first two sermons. Right? So, this AI humanoid will then take on a live personality with the ability to speak. And then reading on, he says, he causes, verse 16, both great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on the right hand or on his forehead. And no one shall buy or sell except one who has a mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and that number is 666. So, here, because Satan is not God, and you know the main attributes of God is God-like attribute, only potent, only sin, only presence capability. And so he counterfeit God-like attribute with pseudo omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent AI capability. Now, in that sermon, I'll really explain to you how AI, artificial intelligence, will become super intelligent with all the electronic devices interconnected, a highly interconnected digital world. How it can be, it have the pseudo capability of being omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent in that sermon. And so all this you can see that they are converging. AI technology, the talk about UFO aliens, they are converging towards a point. You know, Satan needs to express himself explicitly. Right now, he cannot express himself through a channel directly. He can inspire someone to speak his word or do this or that, but he does not. He cannot express with a live personality. But once he is in an AI, and now you reach a super intelligent status, and indeed, he is a very intelligent being. He can say, and you can hear him, you can see him, even though he may be an AI humanoid. This is what I submit to you. How the latest development is leading towards fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And so he introduces and uses a highly advanced AI computer technology to control the world. And so with AI, transhuman implants technology, and his cohort of fallen angels being disguised as alien from outer space, this counterfeit and unholy trinity exerts dictatorial power and control over the world. Now, some of you may be unaware, currently, even the Vatican, the Catholic religious authority, has adopted some very alarming position regarding UFO and alien. Now, regarding the belief in extraterrestrial life, the Vatican chief astronomer, his name is Father Jose Gabriel Funes, long name, he has stated that the vastness of the universe makes it possible, he says, that there could be other forms of life, even intelligent ones. They even have a big and powerful telescope in Arizona, USA, in search of aliens, in search of ET. So from a theological perspective, the Vatican has stated that the existence of extraterrestrial life would not contradict the Catholic faith. And this is the shocking statement. Pope Francis himself has even mentioned that if aliens came to Vatican and asked to be baptized, he would not turn them away. This is, you can check it in the internet. This is not speculation or trying to generate some fake news. And therefore you can see that belief in UFO and aliens are gaining traction among some religious entity. Now, by the way, those who had some form of evil encounter with UFO and aliens, their consistent testimony, some of them who have done this, the consistent testimony is that whenever they called upon the name of Jesus, the aliens always flee. Amen. Amen. So according to the poll that's conducted on UFO and alien a few years ago in Europe and in USA, now there are more people believe in alien than they do in God. Number two, more people believe that aliens have visited planet Earth than that Jesus, the Son of God, came to become man 2,000 years ago. And so UFO logy is increasingly become the new religions of the 21st century. And they are promoting the idea that aliens will be the little Messiah or little Christ. And the one world leader will be the chief savior of the world in times of great tribulation on earth. And it goes to show that all the different prophetic streams of event are converging towards the fulfillment of the many last day prophecy in the Bible. Now, I'm about to close. How can we know that the last day UFO and alien deception being mentioned today is not a wild conjecture, something cooked up, as that it is something that is credible? Because these deceptions are being taught as truth in the New Age and in also some of the cults of Satanism. Let me explain. There was a pastor named Billy Crone from the United States. Unfortunately, during his younger days, he dabbled with Satanism and New Age cult. And Billy shared that these people in the occults actually were asked to go into an altered state of consciousness through drugs or other means to allow to have an alien encounter and to allow aliens to possess and actually speak to them. And then this deceptive utterance by aliens have become part of the New Age and Satanic teaching. And it teaches that UFO and aliens are intelligent extraterrestrial beings from outer space. And that one day, it teaches that they will do a mass abduction of the bad guys on Earth and come to save those who are remaining to bring humanity to a time of utopia. Now, later when this person, Billy Crone, became a Christian, he attended a Bible college. And then he discovered what the New Age taught about UFO and the coming mass abduction of people is actually a big lie to explain away the Christian rapture. And so Billy began to see how the devil has cunningly crafted many deceptions in advance to prepare the world to buy into his lie when these prophetic events come to pass. Now, that is not it. There's another scary thing, agenda of the alien. It is the return of the Nephilim. The return of the Nephilim, what we read in Genesis chapter 6. And there is a scripture basis. I hope to speak on this subject matter in another sermon. Maybe not the next one, maybe in a few weeks' time. And so I'm going to bring this thing to a close, to a landing. A short and a quick conclusion. There will be a big tsunami of deception coming on planet Earth as we enter into the last of the last days. Jesus himself mentions in Matthew 24. He said, for false Christ, a false Savior, and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, he said, if possible, even the elect, meaning the believers in Christ. And he further says in Luke chapter 21, verse 34 to 36, the day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. And so in short, the Bible admonishes us to be watchful and prayerful. And so for this reason, I'm doing my part, doing research and update you on the latest development so that you can be watchful. But you need to do your part to be prayerful as well. And so may we all adopt a constant posture of being watchful and prayerful so that we will be counted worthy to escape all this coming horror. The Lord bless you. Amen.